said me.
Come on, me.
Only then will I be free.
Come on, me.
Oh, she was hiding me, and every girl face I see.
Come on, me.
All right, we're back in the studio after a bit of a hiatus. You know, I got COVID, and, you know, Warner, both of us, out of town here and there. So we're finally back together to bring another episode of the Bow River Brigade podcast. My name is Shafe. With me, as usual, Doogie. How you doing, my friend?
Good. Good to be back. We've got lots to talk about this week. There's been a lot of games here in June, and, you know, it's been a good month of football for the Cavs, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. It's a good month so far for the Cavs. And it was, you know, after a bit of a rocky start from here and there. But, well, you know, recording today in the studio, it's a bit stormy outside. So you might hear maybe a clap of thunder in the background, maybe a little rain. But we're back in the room. And let's start off by talking about the elephant that's also joining us in the room today. It's the new merch from the Cavalry store. And it sure looks an awful lot like our podcast logo.
Well, I mean, you take inspiration from the greats, don't you, Shafe? And I guess that's what they decided to do with this logo.
Or they're just scraping the bottom of the barrel of creativity. I mean, I hope it's just a coincidence. Very similar circle design with another circle, words on inside that circle, and, you know, then they just suck the Cavalry entire crest inside of that circle, which, you know, they could have done a little bit better with, you know, a new design that maybe wasn't so much like ours.
Well, one of these days we might have to whip up a little merch ourselves, maybe. Yeah. Get ourselves a hat or something made, or a couple shirts.
That's what we need to do. We need to get shirts that look just like these red shirts that the Cavs are sticking out there, and we just slide them into the merch store. So maybe a few people start rocking some BRB footy shirts when they thought they were buying Cavs merch.
Oh, man.
Well, the master plan is in effect right now. But let's jump back in time. You know, it's been a real busy run for the Cavs. Busy run for us personally as well. You know, when we look back since the last pod, 5 CPL games and 2 Canadian championship matches. So a busy run of about a month or so here for the team.
It was a good run as well. We got 4 wins, 1 draw, 0 losses in the CPL, 1 win, and unfortunately 1 loss in the Canadian championship. But coming out of that stretch, you have to be, you know, proud of the boys, and they've really started to find their stride and started looking like that old Cavalry team that we know.
Get their Cavs chemistry back, pull their socks up, and starting with Pacific here all the way back on, oh man, when was that? The beginning of May must have been.
That was, Shafe. That was the opening home opener at Atco Field, and that was May 1st. Cavalry took on Pacific FC. They, you know, visited Atco Field in their new Island Tribute kits, and
I like those kits. They look sharp on the field.
They do, yeah, and, you know, and they were looking to continue their hot start to the season. The previous champions and
the team to beat.
The team to beat. It seems they've kind of been on top of the league this entire season so far.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're facing off against the league champions, the team to beat, you know, taking any points away from them is important. And they got the scoring started real frickin' quick in this one. Just a minute 15 in here. And it's Jose Escalante making a dive on the line to keep it alive. And Joe Mason making the cold ender work.
Yeah, it was, you know, Jose really fought for that ball. You know, he drove for the end line trying to create something. Ran out of a little space there, but he was just able to get his foot on it and keep the ball in, and Joe Mason was there to, you know, to get a shot on the keeper. Unfortunately, Joe didn't score, but this is where Jose shows what he brings to the team. He really brings that never say die, that never give up attitude.
Definitely, and that's something that's going to keep coming back here throughout the last run of games, is that never die, never give up, fight to the last minute. And Jose Escalante marching all the way down to the field, right to that touchline, has become kind of his style, something that I think has worked really well for him in this last run.
Yeah, and he was the first out of all those players that went with him to get back up on his feet And what happens after that? You know, he gets the ball back, has time to look up, and he sees Ali Moussi standing on top of the on top of the box, and it was an easy goal for Ali. As far as his standards go, you know, he just had to hit the net. The keeper's been taken out already by Joe Mason, and yeah, he just had to keep that down and keep it on net, and he made no mistake with that.
Ali Moussi hasn't been making too many mistakes in this last run here. He has been playing fantastic, and the Cavs were playing fantastic against Pacific as well. You know, they kept Pacific's chances to a minimum, giving up very few free kicks to give, you know, Pacific any real chance to give Marco any danger.
There were free kicks in positions where you expect you can let Marco handle this, and he did. You know, they were easily handled by him, or the wall did their job and they were unable to get the shot on net at all and sent it over. So that's the kind of stuff you want to see. Is you want to see the Cavs putting on that pressure in those positions and in those spots on the field that, you know, if they do take a foul or they do have to do something like that, it's not in the danger zone, and you can really rely on a guy like Marco to handle them.
And in the 26-minute, Cavs again are gifted a goal by Pacific. An old Cavs friend, now enemy, Nathan Mavilla, makes a poor decision, tries to deke past John Anil SC, only to have the ball poked out from between his feet to go straight to Joe Mason, who places just a perfect shot, top left corner of the net.
Yeah, that's a terrible mistake by Nathan Mavilla. And, you know, Joe Mason is one of those players that you don't want to see those types of turnovers fall to. And, of course, it does. And he made no mistake. Took a couple touches to set himself, get in the right position. And he just slotted that top corner. No chance for the keeper. And next thing you know, Cavs are up 2-0.
Yeah, and Cavs just kept the pressure going. And, you know, final 5 minutes of the first half, they see two big chances just elude them as Jose Escalante can't control the breaking pass into the box. And Frazier Aird's corner is headed just wide of the near post.
A game like this, they were pressing, and it easily could have been something like, you know, 3 or 4-0 going into halftime. The Cavs looked strong and they looked hungry for this one. So Pacific didn't really get another chance until about the 62nd minute.
Yeah.
But thanks, of course, to a beautiful save by our leader, Marco Carducci, they maintained their 2-goal lead.
Yeah, it was an important save by Marco Carducci, one of the co-captains of this year. And in the 74th minute, Marco also snuffs out Pacific's chance to get on the board, pulling off his line at the perfect moment, just beating Marco Bustos to the ball. You know, glad to have Marco back between the pipes.
Yeah, and that, you know, he's an important player for us. He's just so smart in his goal, and he knows when he's needed, when he needs that to give that extra support, come off his line. And, you know, he can see the game building, and he just knows, you know, just ahead of when he needs to go, I should be looking at this. Okay, I'm going to go. And that's what gets him to the ball before Bustos. He is invaluable to this team with the organizing he does in the back and just the bailing out with some of his amazing saves. You know, this game is not going to be the last game that we see him make a save and essentially preserve the win for us.
And that's exactly what he does. Final score, Cavs 2, Pacific 0, taking away 3 points off the champions. Super important after a bit of a rocky start for the Cavalry. So now trying to get the wind behind our sails.
We were seeing some players really get into their groove here at the team, like Charlie Trafford, Frazier Aird. They both looked, you know, their consistent usual selves, and they were creating opportunities left and right, doing the proper backtracking when they needed to. You know, as we said, Ali Moussi, Marco Carducci, those guys, they seem to just come out every single game, and even when the team around them is kind of looking a little lethargic, those two guys are just always motoring and always seem to make the team tick.
Next up for the Cavs is a couple of games against Edmonton FC. Back on May 6th, the first of the two games, the Cavs look strong and in control. Ali Moussi, like we were saying, playing great last game, continues it into this match as well. He has really stepped into his own over the last little stretch, battling for those balls, winning crucial challenges. He has been smashing balls. You know, that's exactly what we need. Those players that aren't afraid to take that shot on net, especially from long distance.
We've seen that Moussi is not afraid to take these shots from distance. You know, one of the first pods we did, you mentioned he dipped in from the wing and, you know, saw the opening. Why not? He takes it. And, you know, I think you maybe gave him a little bit of a hard time and said he maybe needs a little more pepper on it, but I think he might have heard that because he's been really consistent with his shooting as of late. And like I said, he'll take them from anywhere on the pitch.
And he seems to always get himself in a nice spot for to have a nice look at the net too. And yeah, now he is peppering the goal. He's taking those shots, taking those chances. And I love to see it. Another player that's been impressing me is Latoure. Latoure has been really coming to his own as well, getting stronger every game. He has that vision, that composure, and he's setting up great plays whenever he can, controls the pace of the game.
Yeah, and he's not always the guy that scores, and he's maybe not even always the guy that sends in the final ball for the goal, but the things he does behind the scenes, the things he does off the ball, and the things he does when he does get the ball, just a quick one-touch pass or, you know, an extra second to preserve the ball and use his vision to see what options there are rather than just booting it away. Yeah, as a young player, you can see he's really, really progressed in this last year or two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he has that football IQ, that spatial awareness. And you just see, like you're saying, he just takes that beat. He knows where all his teammates are going to be, and he just seems to put the ball in the right spot at the right time.
Cavs are, you know, going into this CPL game against Edmonton, they're really, really looking for, you know, for 3 points against this team.
Yeah.
Edmonton, again, they've been struggling. You know, they've got a tough season ahead of themselves, and they've had a tough offseason with some of their financial distress. You know, their previous owners have been replaced by the CPL buying out the club because of, you know, of all these financial fiascos and stuff like that. So the Eddies kind of have a lineup of misfits. You know, they have loans from all over other CPL clubs. You know, they've lost possibly, arguably, two of their best players with Fraser Aird coming down here and Amir Didich leaving. So, you know, this is a team. Cavs are going in, and they're really, really looking for those 3 points. And they did a good job showing that was their intent.
Yeah, Cavs started out playing really strong as well. Just 10 minutes in, almost get that opening goal. The ball is drilled into the penalty area, only to be intercepted by the Eddies keeper, denying what would have been a nice tap-in goal by Joe Mason.
Yeah, and you couldn't imagine Joe missing something like that if it had got through. So the pressure just kept coming. Cavs, you know, had Ali Moussi out there dancing in from the wing. He blasts a shot at the keeper. The ball's parried out. Keeper just couldn't control the power.
Yeah.
So I guess there he was listening to you.
Yep.
And it was parried out right to Fraser Aird, who maybe his eyes got a little too big for his stomach, you know, and his attempt just slips over top of the Eddie's net. But that's the kind of thing you like to see, you know, take a shot on net, have those guys follow up for any sort of rebound that there is.
6 minutes later, Joe Mason with a cracker of a goal to get the Cavs rolling. Fraser Aird and Moussi both pressing hard to maintain that control. Aird gets that foot of space and finds Mason up the gut, and he goes bar down. Fantastic goal.
Yeah, and this was another one of those pure team goals. Like, we'll see this in some of the upcoming matches that we're going to talk about, and we have seen this in the past as well. This is the defining Cavs style, in my opinion. They'll get the ball, pick up the ball, you know, in midfield kind of thing, and it's a quick 1-2-3-4 pass kind of thing, and next thing you know, they're pressing your back line, and it's just one more pass to break them through, and that's exactly what happened here. And Joe Mason, you know, he shows time and time again in front of the net. He knows how to put some pace behind the ball, but he also knows where to put it as well. No chance for the Eddies keeper. Cavs are up 1-0.
Speaking of no chance for the Eddies keeper, again, 34th minute, just a little while longer. Moosey takes a free kick for the Cavs, and what a peach of a kick.
You know, Ali Moosey made absolutely no mistake. If he likes the sight at goal, he's going to take it. And this is just another reason as why not, lad? Have a chance. Have an opportunity. Take it while you have it. And yeah, next thing you know, 6 minutes later, Cavs are leading 2-0.
Yeah, just amazing. And it could have been a little bit worse there.
Early in the second half, the Cavs keep up that pressure, and Meyer Bevan shows his knack as, you know, where to be around the box. And he receives a cross at the corner of the Eddie's 6-yard box and passes. He tries to pass the ball into the bottom corner, but it's just wide of the post.
Yeah, Bevan has started so well so far. You can see him. It's that hunger. He's coming into his own as a player. Hasn't been able to find that elusive first goal yet, but it's coming.
Oh, believe me, it is coming. And, you know, he would get even another chance in the 70th minute when a rebound bounces out to him. Tough chance to take as he's mid-stride and it kind of comes to his midriff, but he still gets a foot on it and, you know, puts it towards net. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get the power that he needed, and it kind of just lofted and floated just over top of the keeper who was able to get his arms on it. But he is, you know, in this game, we're starting to see Bevan is really, really looking for that offensive click, and it's starting to come.
Oh, definitely. You know, Eddie's had a few chances here and there in the second half throughout the game, you know, kept us on our toes, but Jose Escalante puts the nail in the coffin in the 88th minute. He battles down into that left corner to that touchline and deflects it off the Eddie's old defender for the third goal on the night.
Yeah, and, you know, this is another goal created completely by Jose Escalante and his desire to get to that byline and, you know, and make defenders think,
yeah,
do I go with him? Do I hang back and try and, you know, cut the cross, that kind of thing?
If I get too close, he's going to go down.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, exactly. He's a tough player in that area to deal with, and I mean, you know, it's unfortunate it's an own goal, but he really can't be hanging his head at himself. He did everything that he could do. It's just that desire and that strength with Jose Escalante creating these opportunities, and it proved to be too much for the Eddies this game, as, you know, Cavalry wins the game 3-0 fairly convincingly.
Absolutely, and the Eddies would come down to ACCO Field just a few days later on May 10th to take them on in the Canadian Championship. Cavs started out the game much like they finished the last one, with Jose Escalante charging at the net, hungry for another goal.
Yeah, and, you know, there was one bad thing that happened in the last game, and Fraser Aird wasn't able to start in the follow-up game for the Canadian Championship. It was revealed, you know, shortly after that it was not a good injury, you know, an ACL injury in the final 20 minutes of that last game. That could be his season, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's kind of looking that way, which is unfortunate, as Fraser Aird early on, he just seems to be that clutch player down the middle that really just has a great sense of where he needs to be and where his teammates are. So it's going to be tough to fill that gap. But
we do have a very deep team this year. We're still going to be a tough team to play with or without, you know, players like Fraser Aird. And as you said, you know, Jose Escalante, he's very early in the game driving at the keeper, that kind of thing. The 16th minute, Meyer Bevan does the same, driving at the keeper, and actually finds Jose standing in front of the net, but...
Yeah, he just kind of ran out of real estate. Not much area really to play with that ball, to control it, to get it exactly where he wants. But he makes a heck of an attempt and makes that goalie stretch out.
Yeah, and, you know, the Eddie's keeper had to make a save, and it was a good save. So that's what you like to see. We've been seeing this time and time again. The Cavs are coming out and starting strong, and they're also finishing games strongly as well.
And just a minute later, Cavs would draw first blood off a corner.
Meyer Bevan flicks a header on from a great Ali Moussi cross, and no chance for the Eddie's keeper again. You know, he finds that bottom corner, goes across goal. If you get the right angle on those headers, they are tough slash almost impossible to stop sometimes.
Yeah, just so well placed. And Bevan, again, finally gets his first goal here for the Cavs, and because he's been looking fantastic. Every time this kid hits the pitch, he's getting better, and that's what I love.
Yeah, and that goal was well-deserved. You know, we've seen him in previous games getting those opportunities, and, you know, maybe the ball just doesn't bounce the way he needs, or he, you know, sends it just wide of the post, but absolutely no mistake with this one. And he seems to be pretty dangerous with his head and his feet.
Yeah.
So that's something that is going to work really well with the Cavalry style.
Bevan gets his second goal of the game in the 36th minute after Cavs are awarded a penalty kick. I know, penalty kick, our favorite.
Bevan makes no mistake on this one, and I think he's kind of solidified himself as our, you know, our penalty kicker when we get one and he's on the pitch. Picks the bottom corner. Keeper even guesses the right way, but there's no chance he's making it to there, and Cavs are up 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0, end of the first, but come back into the second. Eddie's got a penalty kick of their own to come back within one and make it interesting.
We've seen crazy bounces in this league. We've seen crazy finishes. Even we've seen FC Edmonton do crazy finishes with, you know, a last-minute bicycle kick into the net. So this is a team, yes, struggling, but still a team you need to watch and you need to kill out the game with. And the Cavs do that. They really seem to, you know, figure out how to kill off some of these games when they're in the league and when they're in the lead, and they hold on to the 2-1 win.
Yep, that's how it would end. The Cavs are on to the next round of the Canadian Championship to face the Whitecaps, and we'll get to that game just in a minute. A couple games in between, but a quick word from our sponsor.
I love to bake, but I either don't have the time or I'm missing a crucial ingredient. That all changed when I discovered Lazy Bake. Baking kits delivered right to your door. I just need a couple basic ingredients and I'm baking like a pro. All you need is water for delicious campfire cookies or a can of beer for the Dilipino beer bread. Lazy Bake makes baking a breeze for even the most inexperienced baker. Visit lazybake.com and enter promo code BRBFOOTY for 20% off your first order. Lazybake.com, promo code BRBFOOTY. Lazy Bake, baking made easy.
May 15th, Cavs face off against Halifax, and the Cavs are back in form. Back to the Cavs that we know and love.
You know, the Cavs are out east again. You know, they haven't fared too well out east this year so far, but this is their first visit to Wanderers ground, so they're hungry and they're looking for the big win, and you know, they're looking to make it four wins in a row, including the Canadian Championship win against FC Edmonton.
Yeah, and the first goal would come 20 minutes in. Elliot Simmons takes a corner to find the head of Dan Klomp, but it's the kid, Meyer Bevan, who finishes it out to beat Oxner.
Yeah, and this is, again, he knows just where to be, and just, you know, even if he's not necessarily in the spot to get that initial header, he knows, let's go to goal, let's cause Oxner some trouble, let's get in his way. And
make him sweat.
Yeah, and he's able to get his chest on the ball, which just throws Oxner off enough that He was able to get his hand on it, but mm-hmm. not enough to keep it out of the net.
Yeah, couldn't control that ball enough to keep Meyer Bevin from being on a bit of a tear here in his last few games. You know, Halifax do answer back, though. 38th minute, Cavalry are unable to clear the ball out of the box, and an unmarked Akeem Garcia puts the ball in from the top of the box. Never leave that guy alone.
Akeem Garcia is year in and year out. He's shown that he is one of those dangerous players that he's the kind of player he could do absolutely nothing all game.
Yeah.
And he just needs that half opportunity and he'll make you pay.
Yeah, and
he'll
had the
draw.
Space there to actually think about it for a second and just... Oh.
Yeah, you can't give that to Akeem. And I mean... The Wanderers were pressing, you know, yep. They came inches away in the 27th minute as well, hitting a post. So this was looking, it's going to be a tough match and yep. it's going to be a grind. And
exactly.
We're sitting here, you know, sitting here after the Akeem Garcia goal level at 1-1.
Yeah, and Halifax kept their momentum going in the second half when Sam Salter puts it through Carducci's legs in the 61st minute. Ah, that was a tough one for Marco.
Those are tough goals for keepers to save, you know. Yeah. You have to squeeze your legs together in time, or you almost have to throw your butt onto the ground and take it in, you know, take it in the gut, or even worse, into the balls, right? And you know,
into the ball for Marco though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
into the ball. But you know, it wasn't all his fault either. I mean, Mason Trafford was caught sleeping a little bit on the back post, and you know, he let Sam Salter drift off of him a little bit there. Yeah. And when the ball went over his head, he was always scrambling to get back. And as we saw, Marco just wasn't able to, you know, to make that that heroic save that he so often does for us.
Halifax cut the Cavalry lead in half. They're on the board, making it interesting with 2-1, but Cavalry stay focused and display their mental toughness all the way to the dying minute of this game. Awarded a free kick in the final third of the Halifax half, it's Ali Moussi to step up and deliver the final second stoppage time goal to bring it even.
This is a familiar hero for us. He hasn't scored maybe as much as he did last year for us, but Dan Klomp, in the box, mucking things up. You know, he is such a powerful defender mm-hmm. and such a powerful player in the offensive box that every day when we get a free kick like that, you know, Dan is going to be in there and he's always dangerous. And he was able to get that elusive game tying goal and preserve a point for us, a very important point.
Absolutely. Ali Moussi, Meyer Bevin, again, just stepping it up in this one. They've just been playing fantastic. And you love to see the ways that some of these players are just clicking with some of these beautiful passes, finding each other, and like those set pieces, just making them count.
Yeah, and we had a bit of a tough time last year getting some of these set pieces to click for us, you know, and this year it seemed like they've been working on that kind of stuff in the off season, and we have some, you know, set players to take these crosses, whether it's Fraser Aird on one side, Ali Moussi on the other. You know, that's one spot we're really going to miss Fraser, but... Mm-hmm. We have all these other players who've just got a hell of a foot on them, and now we're stacked with a team that they're very hungry in front of goal, whether it's looking for a ball to drop to their feet or challenging that ball in the air. Those set pieces, we're a very dangerous team.
Cavs come back home to ACCO Field on May 21st to face off against Winnipeg. Valor are in town.
Yeah, and again, Cavalry start off in the front foot. You know, we see we haven't mentioned it, but the new guy, Bradley Vliet, he has played very, very well and very consistent for us.
Yeah.
I believe he came in I think he took a flight in the day or 2 days before playing his first match, and he started for us. And ever since that day, he's, you know, he's started almost every game, and he doesn't seem to put a foot wrong. In this game, he gets the ball, comes out to him in Ali Moussi type territory, almost even farther, and he smashes the ball into the lower corner. Jonathan Sirois, he's a good goaltender. Oh, yeah. And he gets down well and shows why he's always in the talk for the Golden Glove. But, you know, Bradley Vliet, he's looked very good since coming in from the Dutch second division, and he was making Jonathan work for his money on that day.
Yeah, a lot of work for Sirois in this one, and again bails out Valor in the 30th minute as Jose Escalante gets a tight angled one-on-one but is unable to budge Sirois, who stands his ground and makes that big save. Jose Escalante, again, just has that fire.
And that's a tough save to make. You know, it's kind of a poker or a chess match where, you know, you're a poker match is a good analogy. You're waiting for the keeper to pull off of that near post and fold his cards. And he just wasn't doing it on this one. You know, Jose looked across net, tried to get him to pull, but Sirois stands his ground.
Yeah, goalless at the end of the first half, but got to be honest, Valor still made it interesting. They tested Carducci in the 41st minute, and it was Karifa Yao that steps up to make a goal line clearance.
Yeah, and another unsung hero for the team. You know, Karifa is so important for us, and he's always... He always seems to be the first guy back, and he always seems to be our last line of defense before Marco Carducci, or in this case, even after Marco Carducci.
Yeah.
You know, he's always looking at where should I be if there's a rebound, if Marco isn't able to snuff this out. Where is the ball going to go next? And he reads that perfectly, clears it away from the line, and like you said, preserves the half with a 0-0 scoreline.
Fast forward all the way to the 83rd minute. The deadlock is finally broken when Captain Mason Trafford is taken down in the Valor box.
Yeah, and this was a bit of a weird game, wasn't it, Shafe? I remember being at this game and you know, it was a bit cagey, and we got this penalty.
Clear penalty.
Clear penalty. And this is another thing that Charlie Trafford does game in and game out. And he's always, you know, he's always looking for what's the best thing to do with the ball at this moment. He wasn't even actually running towards net. He had picked up the ball and he made a great touch up to the top of the box. It looked like he was going to maybe try and lay it off to somebody if he got it there. But, you know, when you're doing these kinds of plays and you're first to the ball and you're making these wonderful touches, you're always going to draw defenders in. And the defender takes him out by the legs. Clear, obvious foul. And who else but Meyer Bevan steps up for the penalty?
Yeah, and this is actually the first penalty of the Cavs' 2022 CPL campaign. We broke the curse back in Edmonton, but this is the first chance to break our penalty woes in the 2022 CPL campaign.
And it was close to still being a CPL curse, was it not, Shafe? This was the penalty. Bevan maybe wasn't his best penalty. You know, I think he thought that he'd done enough to throw the keeper the one direction, and he tries to blast it up the middle. But Sirois, he is a good keeper, and he drags his legs like all good keepers do, and he ends up getting a toe on it.
Yeah, and then Bevan stays calm, cool, collected after having his penalty saved. He doesn't overcorrect. He takes his time, and he just tap, tap, taps that ball in the net.
Tap, tap, tap it
in. Tap it in,
Happy. Just a tap-a-rooney.
Yeah.
And the curse is broken. I mean, it wasn't a penalty,
no penalty though, yeah,
in the goal, but I'll take that as a penalty goal with his follow-up being able to, you know, being able to put it and direct it back on net. Because I believe one of the penalties that we missed, we did also have a follow-up attempt last year.
Yeah.
So being able to, you know, recompose yourself, yeah, you didn't get that highlight reel top cheddar goal or that Panenka up the middle or whatever, but being able to recompose yourself and follow that up, that's huge.
Joe Mason was stepping up to the spot most of the time last season. Now he maybe, you know, he has a bit of the yips, but Meyer Bevan is stepping up and taking control of that spot. So happy to see that. And, you know, in the 83rd minute, you think, oh, we must have this locked down by now.
The floodgates really opened in that 83rd minute. So we get the penalty, score it, and next thing you know, in the dying seconds of regulation, Valor back on the board, and you know, Stefan Cabrera gets a header that came into him on net, puts it across the keeper, and they're level again, and this looked like we're going to be dropping points.
Yeah, Dan Klom kind of loses sight of his man there, lets him get ahead on it, and you go, ah, no, now we're tied up. We're only going to take a point away from this. But wait, there's more.
This is that never-say-die attitude, is it not, Schaaf?
Exactly.
And, you know, I think one of the players that really epitomizes that never-say-die, as we said, is Jose Escalante, but also Charlie Trafford. How good was Charlie Trafford this game?
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic. And it's the second game in a row where the Cavs are fighting back in extra time. That never-say-die attitude, that fight till the final whistle, and it gets the Cavs the win.
Yeah, and anything can happen. You know, Charlie works his tail off down the wing. He pushes off a couple guys, makes sure he gets to the ball before it gets out of the byline, and he just sends the most dangerous ball that he can across the crease. And and this forces, you know, this forces the Sirawa, the keeper, to get his foot on the ball or get something on the ball. If he didn't, it's going to be an easy tap in, and he does, but where does it go to?
Yeah. One of Sirawa's first mistakes, just a bad touch on the foot there, heads right up to the top where Elijah Adekube takes his time to put it home and bring the Cavs the victory.
And good on you, son. You know, we haven't seen a ton of Elijah this year.
Yeah.
We've seen him a little bit here and there. I think he's been dealing with a little bit of niggling injuries, that kind of thing. But, you know, he's showed his importance to this team. And it's not just offensively. It's just mentality and, you know, his pure heart. He is a never say die kind of player as well. And, you know, when he gets his opportunity, you better believe he's going to take it. And he makes a great shot right down the middle, gets it into the net, and that seals the Cavalry win 2-1.
Yeah, fantastic win for the boys, and we need another one for the next matchup against the Whitecaps. Now, let's talk about that Whitecaps game, probably one of the most exciting games I've seen in person. Canadian Championship quarterfinal against Vancouver on May 25th. Cavalry knocked the Whitecaps out of the Canadian Championship in 2019 in Vancouver, and that, by the way, tops my list of the most exciting footy match I have ever seen live. So fast forward to 2022, and this game did not disappoint.
No, it sure didn't. And, you know, what team better to play than the Vancouver Whitecaps? This is a rivalry that I think is going to build and build over the years.
I hope so.
And, you know, these teams, they constantly seem to play exciting matches with each other, and they constantly seem to be testing each other for the best of the other team's abilities.
Yeah, and Cavs had to bring out their best in this game. The first couple of minutes I thought were a little bit shaky, dare I say, maybe a bit of nerves when an MLS team comes to town. The first 5 minutes honestly kind of belonged to the Whitecaps. But the Cavs got their feet underneath them, and when they did, these teams were actually well-matched.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you had said, it was a bit shaky. There was a crossbar, you know, a Deber Caicedo header hits the crossbar. We see it kindly bounce its way out of bounds. You know, Lucas Cavallini in the 11th minute sees himself almost on the 6-yard box, and that's a header. Cavallini, when he gets those opportunities, he doesn't seem to miss. Yeah. But
Marco had to be sharp in this one, that's for sure. Tested early, and Ryan Gould for the Whitecaps knocks it on the Cavs' door in the 29th minute. The Scottish Messi playing well for the Whitecaps.
When he's missing from the team, which he had been the last couple weeks, it is very noticeable. He's a player that, without him on the pitch, you can definitely see where they're lacking in creativity and in all those types of things. But it wasn't all Whitecaps. You know, Ali Moussi in the 28th minute, he sends a beautiful cross from the corner, and he almost gets a corner kick goal as it kind of curls just towards that back post, and Cody Cropper can't take any chances and has to acrobatically punch the ball over the net.
Back and forth, all first half. You know, in the 34th minute, the Cavs almost go down a goal when Cavallini, who has been dangerous, finds himself unmarked right up front, and he does everything he can to get a toe on that, but Mason Trafford makes a beautiful last-ditch effort to get his foot on the ball, sending it over and wide, and everyone's breathing a sigh of relief in the stands.
Cavallini does everything right. He just tries to get the quick, you know, the quick toe poke on net, but that's another player. Mason Trafford, he's always putting his body on the line. You know, even if he makes a mistake or does this, he is the first one to you know, track back and try and atone for that mistake. And he did kind of leave Cavallini with a little too much room there, but he sure closed it down quickly.
Yeah, in this game, it was just so tight all the way. 0-0 up until it was the 72nd minute that it was Meyer Bevan that rings the bell for the Cavalry. What a run of form this kid has been on. What an amazing goal from distance to give the Cavalry the advantage.
Some absolutely brilliant individual work by Meyer Bevan. Yeah. I mean,
what a turn just to get the angle right for that goal.
His touch, if you watch that goal, he sees the ball coming and he gets the ball, but he has a Vancouver defender, I think it might have been Baldissimo, coming in on the wing trying to put that pressure. Just the one little touch, 10 feet or, you know, 10 yards outside of the box, and he just goes, yeah, I can take this.
Yeah.
And we talked to him a little bit after the game, and he said, I just closed my eyes and let loose. I think he was being a little hard on himself, but sometimes that's what it takes, you know. It's, you see the goal, if you've seen it once and you know where you are, sometimes you don't need to, you know, use your sniper scope. Sometimes it's worth just taking a crack, and that's what he did, and I don't think there's a goaltender around that was going to save that one. That might be possibly the best goal I've ever seen live. I've seen a couple good ones.
Get out to the Cav shop and get your Meyer Bevan kits quick. This kid is going places, I tell you. But the Whitecaps kept pressing for that equalizer, and Yao has to make another goal line clearance in the 83rd minute. But this game starts to wind down, and we foolishly, as Cavs fans, think maybe, just maybe, one goal is enough to get us through to the next round. But no.
No, minutes later, you know, the Whitecaps never say die.
Professional team.
Yeah.
Never say die.
And this Caps team is starved for some good results. Yeah. So they were pushing right to the final minute, and, you know, they get a corner kick opportunity and send it in. I'm not sure. I saw that it may have been a...
they awarded an own goal, went off Klomp there.
A Klomp own goal.
Yeah, Godoy, you know, put it towards net, and I think it just went off Dan Klomp and in the net.
It's a tough one. Do you think it would have gone in regardless of hitting Dan? I don't know.
Yeah.
And is there anything better that he could have done with his positioning? I don't think so. he's the guy you want going up challenging for that header, and he does. He just doesn't quite, you know, get the right angle and get to it first, and unfortunately, Marco watches it scuttle across him and into the back of the net.
Never before have I seen a game go to penalty kicks in person until now.
No, neither did I, Shafe. And I mean, this was an exciting game and some exciting kicks.
Cavalry have a rocky relationship with penalties as it is, and all of ATCO Field was on edge. You could cut the tension with a spoon.
Like a cake.
Like a cake.
Like a good cake.
Yeah, so, and, you know, it's always first one to miss in these, and that's just the hardest way to get eliminated from a tournament like this, and it comes from an unlikely source. You know, Ali Moussi steps up and has his kick saved by the Vancouver keeper.
Yeah, and, you know, I think maybe nerves got to him a little bit. You're getting towards the final kickers in you know, regulation kickers, I guess, for lack of better words, and then it's going into a do or die, and it wasn't a terrible kick, but it wasn't the best either. And Cody Cropper picks the right direction, gets his hand on it, and then that just leaves Christian Gutierrez to do the dirty. And. And he does. He drains his kick, and that brings to an end the Canadian Championship for the Cavalry.
Yeah, but Cavs have to pull their socks up and get back into it just a few days later on May 29th. They head out east to face the Nine Stripes, who gave us some trouble at the start of the year, and now we're looking for blood.
This is a team similar to Atletico. You never know what we're going to get, especially when we're out east visiting them. Yeah. And this game did prove to be a tough battle and, you know, a gritty battle at that.
Yeah, it started out just a bit of a stalemate there, and it wasn't until about the 43rd minute where things really started to open up. You know, SC has been looking really good recently. He's been playing well, smart on the field, and again, looking strong in this one. SC sets up Ali Moussi, who has all the time in the world, but he sails it just over the net.
He just was unable to get the target, but it wasn't a bad opportunity.
Yeah, and York, too, had a peach of the opportunity going into the second half as well. 52nd minute, the pressure is on, but the Cavs strike first.
They miss an absolute sitter as Wright sends in a great cross for Di Rosario. And Di Rosario is not the player for York that you want in front of goal. As of late, he's been absolutely deadly, and he's scored some highlight reel cracking type goals, but you know, maybe he was just feeling a bit of Marco's pressure coming off the line and just maybe panicked slightly. Yep. But luckily for us, you know, he one touches the ball over the goal, and we're still drawn at 0-0.
That is until the 72nd minute. Let's talk about this team goal from the Cavs. A clever backheel from Dan Klomp allows Sergio Camargo to break into the York box and sets up Arabin Pepl, who makes it count.
You know, as I said, those team goals, they'll slow it down, survey what they have to do and who they have to beat, and then they look to support each other. And that's the first thing Dan Klomp does, is he comes to Camargo. Once the ball goes to him, he makes a turn, does a beautiful, as you said, back heel to where he thinks Camargo is going to go next. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where Camargo goes next.
Just the way they drew it up. And, you know, Arabin Pepl getting on the score sheet. And let's take a minute to talk to the kids here. Kids, always follow up your shots. I don't care what sport you're playing. Always follow up for that rebound. We saw Meyer Bevin do it with his penalty against Edmonton. And again here, Pepl keeps his cool after his shot is blocked, and he gets that winning goal for Cavalry.
Yeah, slots it bottom corner. You know, our old boy Nico Giannstopoulos, he had no chance at that. He's already leaning. Yeah. You know, he's leaning left for the first shot. It gets blocked and goes back. Absolutely no chance when he puts it to Nico's right there. And that was really all they needed in the, you know, in the 84th minute, the game was all but sealed as Nsah takes arguably a terrible yellow card in a midfield challenge against Bradley Vliet. And, you know, you just don't see them coming back with 10 men and 5 minutes to go, do you?
It's pretty rare that that happens, and thank goodness it didn't in this one. So Cavs pull out a victory here by 1-0. Final score. And then a bit of a break here for Cavalry. So coming up next, the Cavs are at home on June 11th to take on the Wanderers. 1:30 kickoff at ATCO Field. I'm expecting the Cavs to continue their hard work that we've seen so far in this last month and a half. It's going to be a 2-0 victory against the Wanderers.
Nice. Good guess, Shafe. Mine, I'm going for a 2-goal win, but my estimate for the my prediction for the Halifax game on June 11th is going to be a 3-1 victory for the Cavs.
That'll be a good one. And then on the road again, over into Winnipeg to face Valor on the 15th. It's going to be a tight one again. I think, you know, Sirwa has been such a hot keeper. I think the Cavs are only going to squeak by on this one. I'm going on 2-1 victory, Cavalry.
I'm about the same, a 1-goal difference, yeah. But I'm hoping that we can do our defensive work and we're going to squeak by with a 1-0 victory for Cavs.
Back home to face the Eddies on the 26th of June at ATCO Field. Eddies, I don't have much faith in their ability to put too much pressure on the Cavs. We should be able to have this game well in hand with a 3-0 victory.
Yeah, I'm going a little more conservative, but I'm guessing for a 2-0 victory for the Cavs here as well. Eddies, they're just not their years, I guess.
It's not their sport.
Yeah, yeah. Stick to hockey, yeah, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Goons. That's the end of this episode of Bow River Brigade. And we'll be back, hopefully, pretty soon here to bring you some more episodes. Music is by Calgary musician Mitch Bellot. Visit him online at mitchbellot.com. That's MitchBellot.com. And where can they find us on social media there, Dougler?
Find us on social media at BRBFOOTY. That's BRB Footy on all your social media platforms. You can also reach out to us through email at BRBFooty@gmail.com.
Yeah, send your hate mail our way. Get in the conversation. Love to know what you're thinking about the Cavs' chance at claiming our first CPL victory. That's what we're going for. And until next time, march on.
BRB.